All right, the hard thing about book interviews is you don't want to give away the book. Those of you that have watched me through the years, I bring on authors, I bring on storytellers, I bring on athletes, actors, whatever. And when it comes to doing books, like Greg Hardin's book, I could sit here and do 3-4 hours with you on peak performance because you are at the top of peak performers and peak performance at the University of Michigan. I'm not name dropping, but we just saw Desmond Howard out here last week for the Fiesta Bowl. Greg, you're right about him. Yeah. And Tom Brady wrote in Greg's book, Greg Hardin has and will always be one of the most influential people in my life. Get this book. Here is Greg Hardin. It's a long-winded open, but I appreciate you coming on the show, Greg.
Oh, Brad, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm pretty excited about this. And this book is, it's been coming for years and years, and people have been bothering me about it. Yeah. And I just had a chance to make it real.
So let's go back on this. You decide this is your first book, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you are not 30 in deciding your first book.
I'm in the fourth quarter.
You're in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
I'm in the third period. I'm in the eighth inning.
No, but and that's a great starting point because I think a lot of what you write in here, it doesn't matter if there's peak performance books all over the place for that 10-year-old with the crazy mom and dad or the great mom and dad who just want to read a little bit of something for that 17-year-old. You're sitting here in your mid-70s and you're dropping knowledge and wisdom from some of the top voices in all of sport that people have to gravitate towards. And I guess the question is, when did you pivot and say, you know what, it probably is time for me to do this book? What was the tipping point, Greg?
Well, I've been contacted by Shane Salerno some years ago. And let me make sure that this stops. And it turns out that he invited me to do some writing some time ago, and COVID hit. And all of a sudden, I had nothing but time and focus and a commitment to look at, you know, how crazy the world really is and how intense things were for everyone. And I was able to capture in detail the thoughts that I was having about that period of time and how my life was. And I could only imagine how people were struggling, especially young people. And so it was a perfect time for it.
The name of the book is Stay Sane in an Insane World. Greg Hardin, the author, he joins us for a couple of minutes here on Sports 360 AZ. It's a great book. It is out. Top the bestseller list already, right? From what I've heard.
Yes. It's a miracle upon miracles. I never expected anything like this, but thanks to forwards like Tom is the hook, but the book is about you. The book is about peak performers from all walks of life that are going to be introduced to people in the stories that are going to be told. And it gives you a chance to really identify with what it means to be a CEO, what it means to be an attorney who's trying to go to the next level. It includes making you a better friend, a better parent, a better spouse.
Yeah.
Because all we're talking about is how do I get better at what I'm doing and what I'm invested in and what I love.
You do put in the foreword, and I'm about halfway through the book. I got it 24 hours ago. And so I'm just trying to plow through it. I don't like doing book interviews if I don't read it front to back, but this is the case. And I'm an open book about that, but you write very early in like the first page. This is not a how-to book. Can you explain that?
This is about challenging you to learn how to do self-evaluation, how to see what's working and what's not working in your life. You're going to have to think through this. You're going to have to put your energy into it. It's going to be opportunities for you to practice and train and learn new skills on how to evaluate. Should I keep doing what I'm doing? Should I change what I'm doing? What do I need to do in order to go to the next level of my life?
You have a great saying, if you don't believe in yourself, why should I believe in you? Where did that come from?
I was sitting with Tom Brady, and you got to understand, people say this book is about Tom Brady. No, it's about a 19-year-old who is struggling to find himself. It's about a kid who walks into your office and says, look, I want to be the starting quarterback at Michigan. And you have to tell him, I can't help you with that. But what I can help you understand, a simple formula. if you don't believe in yourself, why should I? Why should any, the coaches don't believe in me. I don't care what the coaches believe. What do you believe?
The book itself has a lot of interesting chapter titles. And I just want to throw a couple of them at you. And as I said off the top, the hardest part about book interviews is not giving away the book. So when you, let's go right over here. I saw the one chapter 30, say thank you and then shut your mouth. What's that chapter about?
Well, Brad, you know how sometimes people tell you what they like about you and how excited they are to meet you and what you did in their lives. And you tell them, oh, that's nothing. Yeah. And you change the subject and you switch it and you start talking about, no, thank you. We do everything we can to avoid compliments. And I'm asking you to receive and stop correcting people when they tell you what they like about you.
That's good. Michael Phelps in this book, The Impact, how did that come to be? You have a quick Phelps story.
Look, Michael Phelps, we hired Michael Phelps' coach at the University of Michigan to be the men's swim coach. Mm-hmm. We don't know Michael Phelps is going to show up and become the volunteer assistant coach on the pool deck. And so that means, since I'm the sport administrator for swimming, diving, and water polo, he has to talk to me. And on occasion, we have to engage. Bob Bowman was the most amazing coach because he was a coachable coach. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but he was so together. And he said, you know, Michael and I are working through some challenges right now. Michael was 18, 19 years old and going through what we all went through, ready to figure out who am I and ready to rebel against whoever is in charge. And Bob Bowman was the father figure, and he was ready to go ballistic. And so all of a sudden, Bob Bowman, Michael Phelps, and I were chatting about how it makes sense that somebody who's, since he was 12 years old, Brad, he had been training nonstop, doing nothing but what he was told. And at 19 years old, he's like, it's time for me for self-autonomy. Stepped in and had a chance to say, look, it makes sense what you're doing and how you're acting.
Of course,
but
Bob.
It's not working.
Yeah, excuse me. Bob is the swim coach out here at Arizona State University now, of course. Michael lives out here in the Valley. And so we see them and the tremendous sides of it. And when I read the parts of the book, that I think the line that you had is Michael was born half human, half dolphin. I think that was, if I'm recalling correctly, it was early in the book. But it cracked me up. It just made me giggle a little bit because that's so true.
Bob Bowman is amazing. Michael Phelps turned himself into an unbelievable champion for mental health. Mm-hmm. Come on, Brad. Mm-hmm. He's something special.
Desmond Howard. We just saw him out here with the Fiesta Bowl. The impact of Desmond Howard. Obviously, you at Michigan would have to have come across him. You mentioned Charles Woodson in this book quite prominently as well. Let's just focus on Desmond.
I love Desmond Howard. Desmond Howard was a 19-year-old who had studied me for a year before he'd even talked to me.
Studied you.
Watched me, yeah. You know, and decided that he was going to give me a chance to talk to him and give him some advice. And he walks up to me and he says, look, I'm thinking about leaving. And I say to him, okay, who cares? What I say, you son, you were that guy in high school. Everybody was. I was. Brad was that guy in high school. I mean, we were that guy in high school. You haven't done anything here yet, and you're fantasizing that if you go somewhere else, it'll be different. No, they're going to be in your butt just like we are. They're going to be looking at you, telling you how you got to step up and become a team player and not just a star. And so, son. At the time that you're looking at leaving, it's not a good time. So you need to figure out how you're going to take over this place. And then if you decide you don't like it, we'll beg you to stay.
How applicable is this book in this day and age to the transfer portal that we're seeing? And you may say, oh, Brad, it's really applicable. I don't know. I come across families, Greg, the parents, that would not want to hear this, that my kid is just not being looked at right. And then they pour that into the kid, and the kid's like, oh man, I all these voices telling me that I'm being disrespected. I'm not getting loved enough and all that. So did you get any pushback on this book at all? Because it's so popular, top of the best selling list. But were there some that are like, yeah, that's not me?
Well, look at this. The pushback was when I say give 100%, 100% of the time. Practice, train, and rehearse. Teaching yourself how to give everything you've got at everything you're doing. And then I say, well, that's impossible. I said, that's not what I'm telling you to do. I'm telling you to have that mindset as your default mode, that you're going to try to give 100% every chance you get. Mm-hmm. And if you train yourself that way, your worst day will be better than the average person's best day. Hmm. The pushback has been on, you're asking me to do the impossible. No, I'm asking you to step up your game so that it is second nature for you to push yourself. I'm trying to teach somebody, look, here's, I'm in the transfer portal. I am an athlete. No, you're a student involved in athletics. In addition to being an amazing athlete, I need you to be an amazing student. I need you to be an amazing teammate. I need you to be an amazing individual in the community that you've just landed in. And that's growing you into a whole person, not a bloody athlete.
Hmm. Well put. Last question. If people pick up this book, what do you want them to get out of it? Or is it really up to you? It's up to them.
Well, but let me tell you what my mission is. To teach anyone that'll listen to become the world's greatest expert on one subject, themselves.
Mm.
That's the mission of the book. To teach you that your best friend in life has to be the person in the mirror. Because it's a game changer when you stop looking outside of yourself for acceptance, for love. So we're talking how to teach people how to embrace self-love and self-acceptance, not in a narcissistic, foolish way, but in a way that you are as good to yourself as you are to everybody else.
The book is out. It is tremendous. I'm about halfway through it. Stay sane in an insane world. Greg Hardin with us for a few minutes. Greg, appreciate the visit. Thanks.
Look, you're the best, and I appreciate you indulging in a book.
All right, let's turn our attention to NAU because the Lumberjacks open their season. He's in his 27th year. Mitch Stroman, the longtime voice, man of great respect and great regard around the Lumberjack program, joins us for a few minutes. NAU goes to Tucson. Last time they were there, they won. And so there's enthusiasm about that. Chris Ball into his fourth season. I want to have Mitch on for a few minutes to just go in and out around the U of A game for NAU this season. And a little bit, too, about what does the future look like? Because we talk all the time about conference expansion and everything with the Big 12 and all that. But what about schools like Northern Arizona? What would the future perhaps look like? So I wanted to have Mitch on for a few minutes. It's good to see you. How do you feel about this squad? As the voice, everything's great. Or, well, we'll see. How do you feel about it, Mitch?
Well, first of all, Brad, thank you for inviting me on the show. It's always a treat and an honor to join you and talk about NAU football. It's, I think, a very interesting preseason going into the season opener at U of A for a couple of reasons. One, because Chris Ball and his coaching staff really had a generous contribution from the transfer portal in the offseason, to put that very mildly. There were a number of very impressive big-time transfers into NAU through the portal at key positions that needed some help, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time I think we can really say that about NAU football, at least since the transfer portal era began. I think this is the most profound off season in terms of new players that Chris Ball has had, number one. Number two, we came off of a very difficult, frustrating season, 3 wins, but in five of those eight losses, the Lumberjacks, as you know, because you actually saw some of those games last year, the Lumberjacks, as you know, had a chance to win those five games, and lost them in the last minute. It's one of those things that sometimes the ball just simply doesn't go your way. And last season was the quintessential example of that happening. So there's a belief that even though last year we were 3-8, there's reason for optimism. If that doesn't sound like a bit of an oxymoron, 3-8 optimism, there is. So I think that this program is poised on the launch pad to do some pretty exciting things. It's now been a full year since the new Student Athlete High Performance Center, a more than $50 million facility that I would stack up with any similar facility in any school in the Pac-12, has been online. That has really been a game changer. If you talk to the student athletes and the players, every one of them to a person say, this is incredible. And it's a great recruiting tool. It's also a great building tool with your existing players. So there's a lot of optimism, but cautious. Mm-hmm. And there's reason for excitement in Flagstaff. This is a program that, as you kind of alluded to, 2 years ago, the Lumberjacks played in Tucson at the Arizona Wildcats and pulled off a historic win in Tucson. And everyone in Lumberjack Nation will remember that, myself included, for the rest of our lives. But that was 2 years ago. And you can make the argument, Brad, that both Arizona under Jed Fish and NAU under Chris Ball are significantly different teams now 2 years later than they were 2 years ago. So as the Lumberjacks get ready to go and play the Cats, what happened 2 years ago is way in the rearview mirror. Now, way in the rearview mirror. So I hope that sort of answers the question, but there is a lot of reason, I think, honestly, Brad, for the people that are watching here today that have interest in NAU football, and hopefully a lot of you have optimism going into the 2023 campaign.
Mitch Stroman with us for a couple of minutes. NAU at U of A, that'll be on Saturday night. What has to go right for Chris Ball? He's in his fourth season. What has to go right on the offensive side of the football from your view?
Health would be a big part of that. And Brad, I've been around NAU football since the late mid 1990s. So I've seen and called a lot of football games in my time. I can tell you that this is the healthiest team going into a season that NAU football has had in my time being around this program. I've never seen us so healthy. That health has to stay healthy. And last year, we went in, we barely had a two deep on an offensive line. And that's not an exaggeration. We barely had a two deep on the defensive line, all because of health issues. This year, we have so much depth. We're so deep at key positions right now, Brad, that we're almost as deep as the Grand Canyon down at Phantom Ranch. it's amazing. I can put some tangible numbers on that statement. NAU has approximately 130 players on its roster this year. That is an all-time record by a long shot. The Lumberjacks have, as of just a few days ago, 83 players that are on either full or partial scholarships. That's a big record for NAU. There are more players and bodies in this program this year in 2023 than the Lumberjacks have ever had before. So to answer your question, we need to stay healthy. On offense, that means the offensive line, which has been really retooled. A lot of new players, a new center from Missouri Western, who was a Division II All-American candidate, phenomenal athlete, anchoring that offensive line. They have to do their job and stay healthy. If they do, the new players that we have on the roster at key positions, skill positions, running back, wide receiver, quarterback, I think we'll have a very productive season for offensive coordinator Aaron Flugrad.
All right, throw me around the quarterback room. What's it look like coming into Saturday night?
Ooh, wow. The quarterback room is profoundly different than last year. We have our starting quarterback from a year ago transferred to Baylor. Let's just start with that. So we had a transfer, again, the transfer portal being kind to the Lumberjacks, and a former Arizona four-star recruit, Kai Milner, out of the Valley of the Sun. He was at Cal and in Pac-12. And he will be in the mix to pull that first trigger at Arizona, along with another Arizona product, a redshirt freshman by the name of Angel Flores. Those two have been neck and neck, literally, from the very first practice, honestly, in fall camp. And whoever gets that start will have a very capable backup. And I would not be surprised if both of those players are going to see significant time on the field during the course of the season. Each of them bring their own unique skill sets, but the one thing they have in common is strong leadership ability. Both of those young men, both the veteran in Kai Milner and the younger player in Angel Flores, who's out of Casa Grande, by the way, both of them command the offense and command the huddle with authority. And the players follow them. They're great leaders. They have the respect of their fellow offensive players. And the quarterback room is going to be a lot of fun to watch this year with those two guys going at it. And don't forget, we've got a few other players too. We've got a true freshman out of the Valley of the Sun as he's in the mix a little bit. And then we have another transfer portal player who played for the University of Montana Grizzlies. Daniel Britt is his name. He's a runner. Big time. He's not quite ready to play at the beginning of the season here in 2023, but he will be on the field during the course of the year. So the quarterback room that you just asked about, it's an exciting room to be a part of. That's for sure.
Mitch Stroman, chopping it up. Things around NAU. Their opener is this Saturday down in Tucson against the Wildcats. I want to shift gears with you, Mitch, for a little bit and go over to what we've seen here in the Valley and also in Tucson, and that is with the Big 12 coming in and conference affiliation. I don't know, Mitch, if people realize the trickle-down effect that it probably will have on universities like Northern Arizona as conference affiliation shift and change. You know, Mike Marlowe's been up there for almost 6 years and the director of athletics. And I'm just curious, do you have a feel about all that's going on in NAU spaces? We're in the Big Sky. We're always going to be in the Big Sky. Big Sky is never going anywhere. Or, you know, Brad, in 5 years, 10 years, 1 year, it may look different.
That's a great question. And it's a challenging question to answer, given the state of college football in the present tense. You've talked about it, I'm sure, so much on your show. Fans talk about it probably every day. College football is evolving, and it's evolving radically and in real time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're watching a titanic shift in college football right in front of our very eyes. We're seeing history being made, if you will, right in our front door. And I think, you know, our kids, our grandkids years from now will look back at this time and they'll say, holy cow, grandpa, what was that like when the Pac-12 dissolved? And what was that like when the Big 12 took Arizona and ASU? And we'll be sitting in there and saying, well, that was a crazy time. Yeah. You know, to try to answer your question, you're right. Mike Marlowe has been here for almost 6 years. He is a great leader for this athletic program on several fronts. One of them is on this issue. He is a very powerful voice in the room at the FCS level. And in the Big Sky, we're also fortunate to have a commissioner who is forward-thinking and visionary in Tom Wistersill. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Wistersill, if you sit down and talk with him, he will honestly tell you how stable he believes the Big Sky Conference is right now. That we have kind of adjusted a little bit. Southern Utah University left this league last year, and that was kind of expected to happen. We're a conference that seems to be on a fairly stable platform at the moment, Brad. But my God, how things can change just like that, right? Just with the snap of the fingers. You know, there's all kinds of rumors that have been flying around about the Mountain West Conference. What happens with the Mountain West may have some sort of a profound impact on the Big Sky Conference. There's always been rumors about Montana, Montana State, especially those two schools that have, you know, been such big, powerful voices in the room in the FCS for so many years, being courted by Mountain West. I don't think that there's any worry at the moment for any change in the Big Sky or for NAU. We seem to be kind of right in, kind of on an island amidst a hurricane in the ocean around us. And we're in that eye of the hurricane right now, where the skies are fairly clear, the winds are fairly calm, and it's a safe place to be. But my goodness, Brad, that can change in a Flagstaff minute. And if anyone can predict that stuff, please send them my way. I'd love to chat with them and get some more of their predictions. It could be helpful moving forward. But right now, I think NAU and the Big Sky Conference are very stable in terms of their place in the college football world. We are clearly the top conference in the FCS right now. Missouri Valley Football Conference did have that role for a while, and even though they still have North Dakota State and South Dakota State as a whole, top to bottom, Big Sky Conference is clearly the big dog in the room when it comes to FCS conferences. And it's the only conference that's basically west of the Mississippi River that includes those FCS schools like your NAUs, Sacramento States, Montana, Montana State, Eastern Washington, Weber State. Yeah, it's the only conference. So it's got an enormous geographical footprint, but it makes sense for this conference to stay intact. And I think Commissioner Wistersill and Athletic Director Mike Marlowe are doing a good job of helping that along.
I wonder, Mitch, is it too far-fetched to think that as the haves and have-nots become greater at that level, at the highest level, that FCS is going to become a very attractive option for some of those in their athletic departments that don't have the dollars, that don't have the budgets, that say, you know what, we're going to still have all the sports, but we're not going to go be playing the game of we'll go play Alabama or Tennessee and get a payday in our program will be set for the year and we'll lose 70-7 and get a bunch of kids hurt. That's the old model. I feel as though those haves at the very top, this isn't disrespecting NAU, those at the very top are going to have to eliminate a lot of those games. I don't know if U of A and ASU, if they want to be up there, can afford to play NAU every year, simply because you're going to have in this new college football playoff, who have you played all season long? As much as I like this, and as much as I'd like to see U of A and ASU go up the hill to play just once. I would love to see it, because it's going to be outdoors in muggy, maybe swampy conditions Saturday night. In Tempe, it's a stadium that you could introduce the fans before the players. No offense to anybody involved. You move this game up to Flag, it will be packed. People that are down here where it's 115 degrees this weekend, it's Labor Day weekend, got to be kidding me. You should be playing the game up there. Bigger rant that I've always felt that why is Flagstaff getting disrespected? But anyways, can you see a day where that conference expands and is doing what the Big 12 is doing, the SEC is doing, but do it at the FCS level?
Oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy. First of all, stop teasing me.
I mean, it's not that hard.
I can remember a time, I think it was 1991, when Lute Olson, the late Lute Olson, brought his number one Arizona Wildcat basketball team to the Walk-Up Sky Dome and played the Lumberjacks. And you know, they beat the pants off of us in that game. I'll never forget it. But there were 8,000 plus people in the Sky Dome for that basketball game. And it was the last time that Lute brought his team up here, up the mountain. And it was an event. I mean, we had people from all over Northern Arizona clamoring to get into the Sky Dome that day. You couldn't fit anybody else in the building for that. Those types of moments are so hard to envision in this day and age, but just even you talking about it gives me goosebumps on the back of my neck to think about those possibilities. I don't think so. I think, you know, the economic model that's at play here is complicated. It's really complicated. For FCS schools, those games, I think you call it a money game, they're critical for
the existence
of budgetary issues. I mean, that makes up a huge percentage of the budget for NAU athletics. And it's not just football here we're talking about. Yeah, that's the big single paycheck. But I'll give you, for example, NAU men's basketball. Head coach Shane Burkhart has crafted a schedule that starts in November. We're going to be going to the defending national champs, UConn, to open up the season. We'll be playing at University of Hawaii. These are games that are critical and are also important to the budget of FCS or mid-major when it comes to basketball athletic departments. For at least from our perspective in the FCS and mid-major world, it would be a catastrophe, I think, if those games were to go away. And it would also be a blow to the fans. You know, when we go to play U of A, like, you know, 2 years ago, we're down there, we're playing, nobody's expecting us to win. We're 26.5-point underdogs to, you know, first-year head coach Jed Fish's Wildcats, and we pull off the upset. That was a moment that was a unifying moment for NAU Lumberjack alumni, fans, parents, even parents of just students at NAU, not even players on the football team. It was one of those things that brings the universe together for your university in a way that really nothing else can do. It is without question a powerful invitation to everyone who's even casually associated with NAU to come through that front door and get excited and be a part of the program. So, you know, there's also that benefit to it as well. Sure. So I sure hope that doesn't ever happen. I think it's great for Arizona football. Let's just take the game, you know, between NAU and U of A. That's a great game for Arizona football. It puts two Division I teams from the Grand Canyon State, and we have only three of those in football, on the field at the same time. That's great exposure for all of the Arizona players on both rosters to play in front of their home fans, their family, etc. And it's also a great way to recruit those Arizona kids, keep them in state. NAU has more than half of its roster from Arizona. I know that Coach Fish has had great success recruiting Arizona as well over the past couple of years. That's those type of games showcase their program to the local fans, to the local high schools, to the local players. And I would just, it's anathema to me to consider the possibility of those type of games going away. And I sure as hell hope they don't, because I think they're a lot of fun. And then every once in a while, lightning strikes in the desert and a team like an NAU gets a win over a Power Five program.
Yeah, it just feels like there's such a blank canvas and so much uncertainty that, as you said and put it well earlier, anything's possible. Things can change in a Flagstaff minute. Look, I appreciate the time. Good luck this season. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad. Always great to be with you. And I hope your viewers are able to maybe make a trek up the mountain and experience what the game day atmosphere is like at 7,000 feet indoors at the Sky Dome. And if not, at least give us a watch on ESPN Plus. And looking forward to a great season. Thanks again for having me on, man.
That's Mitch Stroman, and we're back with more after this timeout.